Final case of the day is Novotny versus Novotny.
May I approach, Your Honor?
You may. I was just letting the other counsel exit. Next case. Next case is Novotny versus Novotny. You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court and Ms. Lears, on behalf of Appellee Nicole Novotny. My name is Shane Plutchik. I represent Tim Novotny in this dissolution of marriage action before the court. So we appealed a December of 2021 divorce trial out of Saunders County, and the parties had one child. I would describe this marriage as a short-term marriage, and it involved basically agricultural production. And so a lot of my appeal, basically 5 points of my appeal, pertain to premarital assets that I asked to be set off and Mr. Novotny asked to be set off. That would be a savings account of $106,000. That would be a 2015 Chevrolet Silverado in the amount of $45,000. That would be 2016 premarital crops in the amount of $65,000 when you net out the operating note. And then I appealed an issue regarding the 2021 crop. The parties separated in March of 2021. Mr. Novotny paid for the inputs after separation. Mr. Novotny spent all the time and effort in producing the crop. He presumably he planted, he sprayed, he cultivated, he harvested. He took all the risk in relation to that 2021 crop.
Let's go in reverse order for a moment. Sure. So talking about the 2021 crop, does it make a difference that it was grown on marital real estate?
I think it does. I took the position in Ostentowski, which is the 2017 Supreme Court case, that the trial court excluded in full the amount from that that marital ground, indicating that the farmer took all the risk and it was done after separation. So that was my point of view as far as what I took. At trial, though, I did take testimony about what cash rent would be, and I'm trying to get to the answer to the question here. But my client testified dry crop land in Saunders County would be about $220 an acre. That's about $10,700 if I do the math correctly. So I agree with the court and with the trial judge to an extent that this is income producing property. It's no different than a rental. So Ms. Novotny may be entitled to a portion of that, a marital portion of that. But how do we calculate that? So for 47.6 farmable acres, which is what this ground was, that's all the ground that they owned as far as marital crop ground for marital ground in general. The court imputed to my client $47,000. And so my objection to that is that Mr. Novotny paid all the inputs after separation. Ms. Novotny didn't have to pay any portion of. Mr. Novotny spent all the effort in planting, cultivating, spraying, everything I said. Ms. Novotny didn't spend any time doing that. Mr. Novotny took all the risk Ms. Novotny didn't take. And Mr. Novotny will have to pay taxes on that $47,000 that Ms. Novotny doesn't have to take, right? So I think in an agricultural production state, it would be great to have these kind of general rules that in a short-term marriage, perhaps in the event there's a non-farming spouse and the cultivation occurs after separation, I think cash rent is a far more equitable division of that marital asset than imputing $47,000 in this case to Mr. Novotny. If we do the math, that's about $1,000 per acre, $47,000 for 47.6 acres. And that's $500 on a 50-50 basis. The trial judge did 60-40, so that would be the equivalent of $400 cash rent to Ms. Novotny. So what I proposed, and I think there was evidence in the record about this, is $220 per acre is far more fair to these parties and Mr. Novotny than the $47,000 of grain that the court imputed to him for the reasons that we just talked about. In general, and I'll just mention this in passing, when we talk about the taxes and reviewing the record for this, there was 2020 grain that was harvested during the marriage and then it was sold after separation. That certainly should be included as a marital asset. It's about $120,000. And then when we include the $47,000 from the party's 47 acres, you're looking at about $167,000 that Mr. Novotny is going to pay taxes on that really isn't taken into consideration. My primary objection is as to that 47 acres. I think that there is another opportunity to get that more equitable.
And was there evidence adduced about tax consequences?
For the 47 acres or in general, Your Honor?
Or either that you're arguing.
So in reviewing the record, an observation, then an admission. So observation, I did ask questions about taxes. Ms. Novotny asked for a 25% reduction of her 401k. We consented to that. We stipulated to that without expert testimony. I asked her, let's see if I can find it. It's in the record as far as shouldn't Mr. Novotny receive a 25% discount on the grain? It's Bill of Exceptions, page 201. And she said, I'm not sure. Now, the admission is I could have done a much better job explaining to the court that this asset is not the same as the cash assets that the parties have. And so that's my admission. But on the 47 acres, I never thought for a second that the court was going to impute the full gross grain income to my client. So when we talk about that, I think that could be treated differently than the 2020 grain that was sold. I think everyone can acknowledge that certain assets have different values. 401k, $10,000 of 401k is not worth the same as $10,000 cash. $10,000 in grain is not worth the same as $10,000 cash as well. So then looking back at some of the other assets that I'm asking the court to give Mr. Novotny credit for, I think that his case is more akin to Ostentowski, which was a short-term marriage. Kamelka, which was before this court, a 2020 court, that was a four-year marriage. I know the appellee relies on Eyes versus Eyes, a 2021 Supreme Court case. That was a long-term marriage. But I think overall, short-term marriages, courts have been willing to allow parties, recognizing that there's some churn in these agricultural accounts, in order to present evidence and trace that amount of money. I think party versus party was a recent case, August of 2022. We didn't have the benefit of having when we tried this in 2021. But I agree with the holding in party that said some assets can be partially marital, partially non-marital. I think Mr. Novotny's savings account, that he came into the marriage with $106,000, that he presented the exhibit 48 from Community State Bank. I think that is one of those assets. He came in with $106,000. I presented an exhibit 14, that said date of separation, it was $181,000. So he didn't receive any set off for that $106,000. And the appellee presented exhibit 65. Exhibit 65 was presented by Ms. Novotny, and that showed a lot of churn out of this account, but this was Tim's primary account for his agricultural production. It was only in his name. He was solely in control of it. Yes, there was some taxes that were paid into that and paid out of that as far as refunds. But I think that's one of those assets that even Ms. Novotny recognized. It never went below $75,000. I think you can say a foundation of that account was non-marital. It was never infiltrated or commingled. However, anything above that, maybe that's active appreciation. But he should have, he deserves some setup for that $106,000 that he brought into the marriage. In addition, I talked about a premarital truck. I thought that the exhibits and the evidence was clear that exhibit 50 was a purchase contract showing that they got $45,000 for his 2015 Chevrolet Silverado in January of 2020, 1 year before they separated. They used that to purchase Ms. Novotny's $26,000 car. The rest was cash. Mr. Novotny pointed to the exact deposit in his savings account, exhibit 65, of $44,300. In short, it was a friendly transaction. He bought it from a friend who owned a dealership, asked him to finance because the dealer received a benefit. Tim financed it, received the money, 3 months later paid off her car. So he received that $26,000, but he didn't receive the full $45,000, which we're asking for. So I think it was clear that he owned that car prior to marriage, lien free, that he traded it in a year prior to separation, and that was worth $45,000. The last issue, and I'll try to cover it relatively quickly here, was the 2016 crop proceeds. So we submitted exhibits that showed exactly the grain tickets that Mr. Novotny brought into the marriage. Now, acknowledging that they got married in June of 2016. He had already paid his inputs. He had already planted, sprayed. He still had to cultivate and do those things. But he received no set off or no premarital credit for that crop. And at least in some of these other cases like Ostentowski, I believe the Supreme Court indicated something along the lines of with the short-term marriage, it is inequitable not to provide him with a set off for that crop that he brought into the marriage. Now, that was 2 years. This is admittedly longer, and I understand that.
Were the inputs for the 2016 crop covered by the operating note?
That was our argument, and we did submit, Your Honor, Well, excuse me. I submitted Exhibit 45, which would be evidence indicating his inputs. Exhibit 44, balance of the operating note. So our position was he obviously had debt on the operating note. He paid some inputs with cash. But that operating note was a negative balance he brought into the marriage. That should be netted out. So we provided a summary of his grain tickets, less the operating note. And that's where we arrived at the $65,000.
Thank you.
I'll reserve my 20 seconds if I could.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
When you're ready.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Alex Lears. I represent Ms. Nicole Berry, formerly Ms. Nicole Novotny, the appellee. We also filed a cross appeal addressing the division of the property and attorney fees and reimbursement of some marital expenses post-separation. But I'm going to spend most of my time addressing Mr. Novotny's appeal. First, I do want to highlight for Ostentowski, I wanted to clarify, I don't believe that involved, it was stored in growing crops, but the court in that case did not address any of the non-farm spouse ownership right related to the land. We had to wait until ICE v. ICE for that. So, and that's in relation to the 2021 crop and why we believe Ms. Berry is entitled to some portion of the crop. There was mainly because it is related not as from income, but from her possession of that marital property. I'll try and go down this chronologically. First, at the date of marriage in 2016, it's undisputed that Mr. Novotny did bring in a savings account with a significant balance. Mm-hmm. However, I think it was also undisputed that there was over $500,000 of marital funds that was deposited into that savings account, and less than that was taken out.
And did your client agree that it never went below $75,000?
Your Honor, on cross-examination, she did concede that it never went below $75,000. However, and I believe it was later on redirect, she clarified her position on that Mr. Novotny is not entitled to a straight offset for that $75,000. She was concerned it was commingled. And if you look at it, the $555,000 and change that was deposited over the marriage, it was all marital. Mm-hmm. There was no evidence claiming it wasn't. It was all of the parties' tax return refunds, transfers from the party's joint account to finance the farming operation, and $431,000 was withdrawn. So clearly the balance at the time of the divorce was, excuse me, at the time of separation, not at the time of the divorce, could clearly be linked to the marital funds that went into that account.
And the court then ultimately did a 60-40 split in favor of Mr. Novotny. Did the court make reference to making that determination because of what Mr. Novotny had brought into the marriage?
Your Honor, I can't recall exactly if it was a 60-40 because of the specific assets, but mm-hmm. from what he had brought into the marriage. When I'm looking at the numbers, though, it's about $100,000 that he was given, $100,000 more of the net marital estate, which...
Than if it had been 50-50?
Correct.
Okay.
And that would line up to this bank account, the credit that he's asking for in that bank account. So I'm not sure if the court was specifically trying to give him credit as a runaround for him not meeting his burden of proof, showing that it was a non-marital, premarital asset. And I don't want to speculate that that was the court's case, because Mr. Novotny was asking for credit from a number of other premarital assets as well. But for the savings account, it's hard for me to see an explanation for how this could not be inextricably mixed. More marital funds went into that account than ever came out. So I don't believe that this is a case where he's entitled to any kind of straight line, even that $75,000 where it, the parties both agreed at least step to $75,000 at one point during the marriage. I'll move on to the 2016 crop proceeds. For this one, I do think that the court made the right call in this case. All of the inputs were financed with an operating note that was paid down during the marriage. I believe the Mr. Novotny assumes it was from the proceeds of the crop that he harvested. That's probably true. They did have other income apart from the farming operation, but it was the operating note was paid down. The crop was in the ground growing at the time of the marriage, but the parties shared in the risk for cultivating, harvesting, storing, and selling this. It could have been a bad year. And we have case law suggesting that in that case where the parties, this was a joint effort, the harvest and the harvest and the risk was shared jointly by the parties during the marriage.
What was the date of the marriage?
It's June 2016.
So the crops are in the ground and growing.
Yes.
Inputs, crops are growing, marriage. Okay.
Correct. But then all of the harvest and everything, the storing, and the sale, and they even reported all of the proceeds and inputs on their joint tax returns filed for 2016. All of that was a joint operation. And so the court did appropriately include even the net 2016 crop proceeds in the marital estate. For the 2021 crop, I know we're asking for it to be treated differently than the 2016 net crop seeds, right? We're not asking for any offset in input. We're not asking for any, we're not looking at the net proceeds from that 2021 crop because we're not trying to talk about this as income. In the 2016 crops, that was marital income that was reported on their joint tax returns. For the 2021 crop, Ms. Novotny's only ownership interest is related to her ownership interest in that land. So it could have been a crop share even. And I know that there was evidence of what the cash rent could be. That's not what Ms. Novotny asked for. She asked for the 2021 crops to be included in the marital estate, just like an ICE v. ICE. I think that the court was correct in doing that. There was no evidence of the tax ramifications. Although I recall Ms. Berry stating on either direct or redirect that she would be more than willing to file a joint tax return if that was something that Mr. Novotny was concerned with. And on cross, Mr. Novotny declined to do that. He was not willing to. If the tax ramifications of the division of the crop, 2021 crop was as big of a concern as he claims, he did not take any steps or suggest to the court ways that could be mitigated. I do want to note too that in the 2021 crop, Mr. Novotny is going to be able to claim all of the deductions for it, all of the expenses that he put into it. And that's going to shield a lot of that income that he would have from the 2021 crop. And that is not something that would be available to my client who could be unfairly treated in that way. For the 2015 GMC Silverado, I was confused at the time of trial. Judge Merrickin was confused at the time of trial, just exactly how this vehicle transaction occurred. It was undisputed that $18,000 was financed and paid down, and it was undisputed that there was not a direct credit for Ms. Novotny's vehicle. I think that they purchased it, and then Mr. Novotny's 2015 GMC was then listed for sale. It was honestly confusing, and I think that what Judge Merrickwin did was the best that she could on the record, and that Ms. Novotny also had conceded at trial that the value of the vehicle she got out of it should be credited. But the $18,000 that was financed, it was financed, it was paid off. So I can't explain to the court how that transaction occurred. I'm just asking the court to side with the judge in this case, which she made the best call that could come out of those facts. I suppose with my 54 seconds, I will turn to the cross appeal unless there are any questions on Mr. Novotny's appeal that I can answer.
That's fine.
Okay. I do believe that in this case, the court should have ordered a 50-50 division of the marital estate, that would have been equitable in giving Mr. Novotny more than $100,000 of the net marital estate. It does seem just on its face patently unfair to Miss Novotny, now Miss Berry, that she's not getting any. Her efforts, her contributions are being disregarded. And where Mr. Novotny failed to meet his burden of proof with regards to the savings account, with regards to that vehicle, with regards to the crop proceeds, he's still getting the benefit of those on the tail end of it with the division. I see I'm out of time. With that, I submit.
Thank you very much, counsel.
Thank you.
And Mr. Plotzik has a whopping 17 seconds remaining.
Just briefly here, that Jones account was marital funds. We talk about $400,000. That's what my client used for ag production. Ms. Novotny didn't put her W-2 paychecks into that account. So when you talk about marital funds, I think everyone understands his marital time and attention was producing this agricultural income. On the 60-40, Your Honor, you were correct, Judge Moore, that was due to this savings account, and that's referenced in the decree. And with that, I'd submit it. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Appreciate your appearance here today. You are excused and your case is submitted. And we're in recess.